Hey, folks, welcome to the No Huddle podcast brought to you by QBList.com, the podcast you need to wrap up and win your week. My name is Kenny Heitenhove, and I am joined by QB List contributor Rich Holman. Rich, are you dressing up for Halloween today or this week?
I am. The whole family's going as characters from Mario. I have twin boys, so one of them's going to be Mario, and the evil twins going as Bowser. So I'm going to be Luigi, though. How about you? Are you dressing up, Kenny?
I am. We dressed up last night, and I have a three-year-old, and of course she was Elsa. So the whole family decided that they were going to be every character from Frozen. So I was Kristoff, and my wife was Anna, and the little baby was Olaf. So nice.
I thought you were going to be the snow monster, but all right.
No, I couldn't. Oh, what's that guy's name? Marshmallow. I couldn't be Marshmallow. That would have been fun. Mm-hmm. Or Oaken. All right, that's enough about Frozen. Gosh, this is what they came here for, Frozen. All right, let's get to first down. All right, first down, news and notes that have implications for your fantasy team. Let's get to it. So there is no Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, or Miles Sanders again this week. And these are all running backs that you drafted to be the guy on your team. But last week, their handcuffs were pretty respectable. So how would you rank Geo, Boston, and Jamal in their likelihood to have another good week this week in week eight?
Yeah, all three of these guys had good weeks last week. I believe all three found the end zone, and they all have good matchups this week. Green Bay faces the Vikings, Gio Bernard and Cincinnati face the Tennessee Titans, and Boston Scott faces Dallas on Sunday night. So of the three, Dallas has given up the sixth most fantasy points to opposing running backs, and the other two are more in the middle of the pack. But they all saw a lot of work last week, all saw five targets. I love all their prospects this week. So I'm starting all of them. And I think I'm going to go Jamal Williams first, Gio Bernard second, and then Boston Scott third. But they're all pretty close. They're all like low-end RB1s to high-end RB2s. I like all three this week. You got any differentiating opinions?
I really don't. You're going to find out later, spoiler alert, that I really like Jamal Williams this week. And I like Gio. I think Gio is a really good handcuff in that offense because he doesn't have to worry about Gio Bernard coming in and taking all of his targets. And then Boston Scott, I'm not really a huge Boston Scott fan, although I did use him last year at the end of the year to really help me out. But I just don't think he's not Miles Sanders. Mm-hmm. We'll say that.
I agree, but he'll get the work. So I like him against Dallas. Dallas's defense is trash. So, yeah. And then Gio Bernard, actually, he gets bonus points for his creeper mustache. So he's definitely got it going on.
He did that. Yeah. In all of his photos. Does he still have it though?
I don't know, but it's great. I love it. I love it too. It makes
it's
me
fantastic.
All right. Dalvin Cook had no injury designation and then quickly added one on Friday as he's recovering from a groin injury. Is it semantics, or do you trust Dalvin Cook enough to play him this week?
Yes, I'm going to play him. If Dalvin Cook is going to play, I am going to play him. It doesn't matter. He's a top five back. Also, just some details that it's supposed to be windy in Green Bay. That always plays well to the run game. The Vikings like to run the ball a lot anyway. They don't usually pass as much. So I'm just going to play Dalvin Cook. I mean, if he's playing, I'm playing him. It's pretty simple. So speaking of the weather looks pretty wacky in Buffalo, who plays New England, Green Bay, who we just said is playing Minnesota, and Cincinnati, who takes on Tennessee, and Cleveland, who plays Las Vegas, with winds forecasted to be between 20 and 30 miles per hour and gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Are you concerned with the quarterbacks and their pass catchers for these games?
Yeah, I'm definitely tampering down my expectations some. I could see teams like Tennessee, Minnesota, New England, and Cleveland, who already rank in the top seven of the highest percentage of run plays, just leaning heavily on the run. I'd expect to keep the passing game to shorter throws, which could hurt the pass catchers with a larger ADOT. And I think it really limits the upside for quarterbacks and pass catchers in these games. When I look at Fantasy Pros, the expert consensus rankings have Tannehill as QB4, which I think is high to begin with. I know he's been good, but I'd be inclined to bump him below Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, and maybe even Justin Herbert this week. I'd just rather play a safer option and avoid the weather. What about you?
Looking around, because I did see that weather was going to be a, kind of a big role this week. And I was trying to find like any data that was out there that would say like, you know, wind has this much effect on these types of players. And Graham Barfield over at Fantasy Points did find some data based on like DFS plays and their fantasy points. And he put it out in a chart, and it was pretty cool. He used the Fantasy Labs tool, and it basically said QBs get less points by about like 10% or something like that. It wasn't like huge, but it was less. Running backs get more by about 10 to 15%. And then wide receivers and tight ends was negligible. So they didn't really get much of a difference at all, which I thought was interesting. That's not, that's about what you just said. So yeah, I feel pretty good about my running backs going into windy games, and I'm not going to totally abandon a stud wide receiver or a stud quarterback just because there's some wind. It's, you know, I'm going to temper expectations, but you know, I'm not going to abandon them totally.
Yeah, I agree. I think like with guys like Davante Adams, they're going to figure out ways to get the ball in his hands. But like, if you're talking, I don't even know where to go here. Maybe
especially Davante. I mean, Davante is the offense, especially with absolutely. Aaron Jones out. Like, absolutely. They have to use him. They're
going to maybe if you're looking at like Stephon Diggs in Buffalo, maybe I abandon that. Maybe I just tamp it down a little. Not, I don't want to abandon it because he's great. But like, I could see Cole Beasley getting shorter throws in that game. Second down. Let's hop in the Wayback Machine and play one of my favorite games from my youth, Guess Who? Instead of physical characteristics, we'll describe a player based on some of their statistics and see if we can try to guess who.
Guess who.
All right, I'm going to go first. I'm going to give you a couple easier clues, and then I'll give you some tougher ones and see if you can figure it out. We have a wide receiver in the AFC East. He's played all his team's games, but has just 25 targets. He's tied for third in the league with end zone targets, though, and has 7 deep targets. And then he had a 91 percentile college dominator and a 95th percentile college target share, according to Player Profiler. Who is this wide receiver?
Ooh, I think I know. Is it Preston Williams?
It is Preston Williams. That's really good.
Yes.
I mean, I love that he has the, I'll call them money targets. Like you get the end zone targets, you get the deep targets. So I think like the upside's there. If they were to work him more into this offense, I really think he has some upside. And I think he's a great stash. He's only 21% owned on Yahoo. So I think there's some potential there.
Absolutely. And especially now that we're going to see some difference in the passing game, you know, Fitz, I think, really enjoyed throwing to Devontae Parker. And who knows what's going to happen with Tua. I mean, we don't know where he's going to start to, you know, feel comfortable throwing the ball, and it might be Preston. So I think it's worth going stash him right now on your bench, especially with that low ownership.
Agreed.
Are you ready for your player?
I am. I'm nervous though.
Don't be nervous.
I wish you would have struggled so I didn't have as much pressure.
You gave really good clues. Really good clues. So if anything, you can just say, Kenny, you gave terrible clues. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you a wide receiver now. So we have a wide receiver, and he is in the NFC North. He had a 96th percentile 40 time and a 92nd percentile breakout age coming out of college. So that's according to Player Profiler. He is top 20 in air yards and 14th in air yards per target. He is the wide receiver 2 on his team as measured by snaps, but he has yet to have a performance better than a wide receiver 3 in PPR. Who is he? Can you guess?
I have a couple ideas. I'm going to start with what could possibly be one of the most disappointing wide receiver 2s in the league, Marvin Jones.
It is not Marvin Jones.
I thought I had a chance there. How about Marquez Valdez-Scantling?
It is not. That's a good one, too. Yeah, because he's fast. Man,
I'm having a hard time here, then.
Younger.
Younger.
Mm-hmm.
Darnell Mooney.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it. Darnell Mooney.
Awesome.
There you go. Yeah, I'm a big Darnell Mooney fan. I'm just waiting for that offense to get moving.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen with Foles or Trubisky. It doesn't matter who's there.
I don't either. If you're out there and look up Ian Harritz on Twitter, and he put out a GIF of just like 15 plays where Mooney just like faked everybody out and he was wide open and Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky threw the ball. And it's hilarious to see where the ball lands and where he is. It's like he's within like, I don't know, like 20 yards of the ball. And he's just like wide open. It's like if he had a quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's what we've been saying about Allen Robinson this whole time. If he had a quarterback. Although Allen Robinson
He's a monster without a quarterback, but can you imagine the upside with the quarterback? Like he would be.
He might be the best wide receiver in football. Yeah, then.
At least top three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. That was good.
Thanks.
Good job.
All right. Moving on. Here's the second one. I'm not going to give you the specific division because this is a tight end. We're a tight end in the AFC.
Okay.
Okay, his 378 air yards ranks third amongst tight ends. He is tied for second amongst tight ends with 6 end zone targets. And he was a 95th percentile or above in all of the workout metrics at the combine. So the 40 score, speed score, burst score, agility score, and catch radius. He was 95th percentile or above for tight ends. Who am I?
Oh. All right, we're in the AFC. God, it could be anybody. All right, tight ends in the AFC. And he has a lot of air yards. It's not Ebron, is it?
It is not Eric Ebron.
Who is that? Is it Guyton in Los Angeles with the Chargers?
I don't even know who that is. I didn't even know he was a tight end. I thought Guyton, like every single play is like this monster play. I pictured this like burner that's just burning down the field.
Well, maybe I just embarrassed myself. I thought he was a tight end.
He might be.
I thought he was a tight end. Hold on. I'm looking this up now. I'm using Google. Oh my God. He's a receiver.
Yeah.
He's huge. All right, we're cutting that. I'm not.
Ah, that's
God. Do I get like one pick?
I can narrow it down, but once I narrow it down, if I say where he's at in terms of division, it's gonna cut everybody off the options. So let me, how about I eliminate a division or two and see if that helps. So he's not in the AFC West and he's not in the AFC South. So you're narrowed down to 8 teams. You're narrowed down to the Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Jets, the Steelers, Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincinnati.
Dawson Knox?
Nope. He just hasn't played. He hasn't played at all. He's been hurt pretty much. I think he's only played like 2 games.
Rich, I think you got me.
All right, we're looking for Mike Gesicki. We went back to the Dolphins.
Oh, he's
third in air yards. But if I would have given you the AFC East, you would have, like, the Patriots have nothing. And then the Jets have Chris Herndon, who's forever going to disappoint.
I did say Dawson Knox, though.
That's true.
I would say the same thing about him that we said about Preston, is we just don't know who's going to become the guy in Miami with Tua. So but I mean,
you hope with a more consistent passing game that both of these are really nice options to go with Parker. Like those are 3 decent pass catchers.
Absolutely. All right, so here's your guy. All right, I'm going to go with a running back, and I'm going to narrow it down to a division for you. We're going to go to the NFC East, so where you feel comfortable.
Sure.
Okay. So this running back does not lead his team in snaps. He is a top 20 PPR running back. He's top 7 in goal green zone attempts. So within the 5-yard line, he has 6 of them so far this year. He is top 10 in evaded tackles with 37 and yards created with 172 yards created so far this year. Mm-hmm. So that's creating yards without being blocked. Who is this running back?
I think the snap share, I think if you just gave me that, I think I could have gotten narrowed it down and gone to Antonio Gibson.
You got it. You got it.
It's every week, though, that I'm frustrated with the share. And I get that, like, McKissick's really good out of the backfield. And when they're in a negative game script, which it's the Redskins, they're going to be in the negative game script. He sees the field. But Antonio Gibson looked so good last week when they were actually in the lead.
It's the first time that he got 20 attempts last week. And he diced up that Dallas defense. So yep. I think that Rivera has said, like, they haven't been giving him that much. And I don't know if they're just making sure that he, without the preseason, if they're just making sure that he has legs until the end of the year. I think McKissick, they kind of overlap each other. McKissick is really good out of the backfield, but we know Gibson is also.
Yeah.
So he's just so explosive, and he just makes people miss. So
I mean, in college, he played receiver. Like, he didn't even he didn't even play running back in college. Like, he played as a receiver, so you know he can catch the ball.
Absolutely. So I think we're really close. Like, I think this is about the last chance that you have to go buy Gibson, because he's about one game away from going off, and then you're not going to be able to touch him again. Agreed. So this is a buy low at this point. All right, that was fun. That was Guess Who?
That was a fun game.
Did you win? I think you won.
Yes, yeah, I got it.
We all win. We all win.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. I'm a kindergarten teacher. Everybody wins. All right. For third down, if it's week 8 and you're facing third and long in your season-long leagues, it's still fun to jump into some DFS games. So, Rich, in cash games, who is the guy that you are locking into your lineups?
So I realize now that I talked about Kareem Hunt last week in what was a smash spot against the Bengals, but I'm bringing him back up again. His price only increased from 6,800 to 6,900. And I really think that it opens up a lot of value. So in running back in general, though, the injuries are open up value all over the place. But I'm turning to Hunt. The weather in Cleveland shaping up to be a nightmare, and the Raiders have allowed the fourth most fantasy points per game to opposing running back. So I think between the weather and the defense, it almost becomes a run funnel, if that's a thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's shaping up to be a monster week for Kareem Hunt. And if you're looking to spend up on, like, Devontae Adams, I like Hunt as a pivot down from Alvin Kamara, who is also going to be popular this week. Who do you got as your cash game play, Kenny?
So I'm going to lock in Jamal Williams. He did some great work last week when he was relieving Aaron Jones, who's been out with a calf injury, and Jones is going to be out again. And we're going to play to that weather again. So it's going to be another windy game when they play Minnesota, and they're at home. And they're at home. They're home favorites right now. So I can see that they can get out to a lead here and just run the ball. And not to mention, he also had 5 targets last week. So he had a lot of volume last week against a terrible Houston defense, and he looked really good. And, you know, he's had in the past, like, he's averaged, I think I just wrote about him in the opportunity report. I think it was like 9 points or something on average in PPR points in his career, but he's had multiple 20 point games. Like, he has a propensity to just kind of go off in games. So I'm looking for him to go off again this week. I think he has a good setup to really do that.
Yeah, I really like him too.
In GPP tournaments, it's really helpful to go contrarian and do something that other people may not be doing and pick some players that are really projected to be low owned. So who is someone that you think will be low owned but could still have a nice week this week, Rich?
I don't think he's going to be 5% or below, but I like Le'Veon Bell this week. He's right now projected to be 7% owned or 7% rostered. And at $4,600, I really like this spot. I think the revenge narrative, as, like, funny as that is, I think it's legit. Like, Le'Veon Bell seems like he holds a grudge. And facing the Jets this week, the Chiefs are like 19 point favorites or something like that. The wound is fresh from the cut from the Jets, and this game screams garbage time, ram the ball down the Jets' throat with Le'Veon. I've already bet Bell to find the end zone, and at $4,600, I think he pays off this salary pretty easily.
Ain't nothing wrong with them hamstrings.
Not at all. Who do you got as your GPP play?
I'm actually going to go over to San Francisco and play Kendrick Bourne, who at the beginning of the year when Deebo Samuel was out, he very quietly was kind of a target monster in that offense. And I am looking for him to get probably not as many targets as he did earlier in the year because they hadn't really established Brandon Ayuk as much in that offense, who is now himself becoming quite a target monster and being pretty explosive. But I am going to go ahead and play Kendrick Bourne because they don't really have anybody else in that offense to throw to other than, you know, Kittle, who's also really good. But as far as receiver, I'm going to play Kendrick Bourne to get some sneaky targets this week. And he's only 5% projected for 5% ownership. And he's only 3,500. So he can also give you some flexibility to go spend in other places.
Yeah, I really like this matchup, too. I mean, they face the Seahawks. It's a high point total. I think it's 54 or something like that. And when you talk, they're going to have to pass the ball to keep up with the Seahawks. So I really like the sneaky play of Bourne this week.
Fourth down. Rich, tell us one article or podcast that you read or listened to this week over at QB List that you need to get the word out about.
Sure. So this week I'm going to highlight our What We Saw articles. We usually don't get a chance to talk about them because they come out on Monday. And by now you've already read them and seen everything. But we always have the Thursday game. So Benjamin Holler featured the Falcons-Panthers matchup and broke it down. There's some awesome GIFs of the highlights of the game. And he did a great job breaking down the game. What do you got, Kenny?
I am going to go ahead and talk about the What We Saw podcast. So we need to listen to the What We Saw podcast, which is with Eric Smith. It is with Mike Michalis, and it is with Miles Nelson, who thankfully covered for me last week. Thank you, Miles. And they do a great job of covering all the games. They record on Sunday night during the Sunday night game, and they go through every single game and talk about the fantasy implications of every game. I think that's a good listen. It's usually about a solid hour and a half. So, you know, it's good to listen in chunks across your day. That will do it for the No Huddle podcast. Remember to visit QBList.com for all the fantasy analysis that you could need. Rich, where can people find you?
Sure. Over on Twitter, I'm at RichardoPL83. Where are you at, Kenny?
And you can find me at KennyQBL on Twitter. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we will talk to you right here next week.